It's a musical quarterback edition of The Waggle, plus a conversation with Daron Carter on life being a villain, race in America, and much, much more. Buckle up. Sanchez, Cebulski, coming at you. What's happening, everybody? Welcome to The Waggle, week 13 edition. Season, I feel like I'm saying this every week, but season is absolutely ripping by. Alongside Davis Sanchez, who you can find on Twitter, at Davis Sanchez, or CUDA33 on Instagram.
On the gram.
My name is James Cebulski. You can find me on Twitter, at James Cebulski, or It's Cebulski on Instagram. I suppose I should just sync it all up to one sort of common thing. Maybe that's a lot easier.
You know
Davis.
What? Maybe by next year, that's what I'll do for my off season. My off season project is to clean out my office and to merge all of my social media things together
into one. That's a good way to go.
Yes.
A reminder that you can always find us on iTunes if you haven't subscribed already. Please do. And you can also find us on SoundCloud. And as always, real easy way to do it when you're in the office or you're listening away. You can find us on CFL.ca. But, you know, a great way, and I know I was talking to somebody the other day that they download the podcast through iTunes, and when they're sitting through gridlock and traffic, they get the content that they want by listening to you and I.
And so if you subscribe, then it will gives you an update when the new one is out, when the new podcast is out.
That's
every
it.
Wednesday. So, yeah, subscribe.
It's like delivered to your doorstep. It's, you know, nice and easy, and it's free. It's free.
And we're talking those goods. So let's get into the goods.
Absolutely. One last thing. One little other item of housekeeping. But don't forget that if you haven't already, please join us on Facebook Live Tuesdays on the CFL's Facebook site. You got questions. We got answers. We love to play and love to break it down and interact with you guys as well. So lots to get into week number 13, which I think we might have to call this week musical quarterbacks. I mean, you talk about a crazy carousel over the last few days, but Ricky, it all kind of started last week where the news comes out that Ricky Ray was out indefinitely with a punctured lung and a cracked rib. So the Argos looking at this being, hey, this is still a Grey Cup year for us, or at least we're hosting the Grey Cup. We'd like to be, you know, the host team in that Grey Cup this year at BMO Field. So they go out, they pick up Drew Willey from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. They give up TJ Heath. They give up a first-round pick next year. They give up a third-round pick in 2018 in exchange to land the veteran quarterback who's been benched in Winnipeg. Winnipeg, meantime, adds quarterback depth by going out and bringing back Kevin Glenn, who they pick up from the Montreal Alouettes in exchange for a fourth-round pick in 2017. Davis, I understand the logic behind the move for the Argos because, as I mentioned, you're hosting the Grey Cup, and it could be vital in winning over and bringing fans to BMO Field going forward. They're within striking distance of first, having picked up that unexpected win over Hamilton the other day, and they're just a point back now. And look, what does that mean? First place in the East, that means home field in the East final, some serious momentum. And, you know, they've got added depth with Ricky Ray sideline and a quality quarterback going future and maybe a potential QB of the future or even the now, depending on Ray's health. But at what price? I mean, good grief, a first, a third, and TJ Heath, who was tied for the league lead in interceptions.
James, I will tell you what people don't know is Scott Milanovic has had his eyes on Drew Willey. Him and Jim Barker have had their eyes on Drew Willey since he got benched. Scott loves the talent that Drew has and believes that under his tutelage, he can be an elite quarterback. And he said that publicly after the trade was done. He said that he believes he can be an upper tier quarterback in this league. And a lot of other people I spoke to around think the same thing. I talked to another quarterback coach in this league who said that under Scott, he was being coached differently by La Police and them over in Winnipeg. Not that he doesn't do a great job, but we know Scott's the quarterback whisperer. And obviously, Lapo has a great system.
Love that term.
That's
quarterback
what they say.
Whisperer.
I think that's, yeah, but Lapo has a great system. It's obvious because look what Matt Nichols is doing in it.
Yeah.
And Drew Willey just point blank wasn't having success. So it is what it is. That's not Lapo's fault. That's Paul LaPolice. It's not his fault. That's Drew Willey's fault. So, but Scott, and look what they gave up. Like you said, Heath, the first round, the third round. This move also is not a move.
Right after Heath picked up two picks against Zach Lerles.
By the way, that deal was done before the game because they announced it so fast afterwards. There's no way that happened. But he was playing for Winnipeg when he had those two picks. Mm-hmm. But my point is this move is not a move that says, okay, Ricky Ray is hurt. Let's find someone to fill in for Ricky. This move tells me, We're giving up some of our future. Two Canadian draft picks, a first and a third. This tells me they believe Drew Willie is the future of this team moving forward 2017, 2018. And that's the surprising move that you have to see that when you look at what they gave up.
You think Ricky Ray's done?
I think Ricky Ray's done. And he's too injury prone. He's not mobile.
At this stage,
he's not mobile. He can't get out of the way of those hits. And when you're 38 years old, whatever old Ricky is, and you take those hits, it hurts. And he can't get out the way of those hits because he's not mobile. I think Ricky's done. I think they think and they know Ricky's done. You can't pay a guy $500,000, $400,000 and know that every time he drops back, there's a chance he's going to get hurt. I mean, we know that anyone can get hurt any play, but there's a high probability.
But the last three seasons, this has become
because he's injury prone, because he's an older guy and he can't get out of the way of those hits. This move right here is a move that says – the future is Drew Willie, and we are gonna put all our chips in on Drew Willie and believe that Scott Milanovich, who's had great success with QBs, can make Drew the quarterback that some believed he'd be in Winnipeg.
Yeah, I just don't get how they felt like they had to give up that much to get what essentially had been damaged goods idling on the sidelines.
I see your point. You're saying no one else was going to take him.
Who was going to pay that price?
Saskatchewan might have.
You think so?
Remember, we talked about that.
Now, they turned the page.
Remember, Brendan Tamman was the one that got rid of Drew Willie. Chris Jones is not under his crew. So they might have liked him. Who knows? I actually don't think they do like him, actually, to be honest. And now that I think about who's there and what's going on,
let's go around the league. BC? No.
No chance.
Edmonton?
No chance.
I think you're fine. I think with Calgary, you're more than fine.
Yep.
Saskatchewan, you've got Darian Durant, I think there's an issue with a crossroads there where, you know, I wonder if Toronto might have kicked tires on Darian Durant. Now, that being said, he's 32 years old, so if you're looking for a quarterback
in the
future.
That's the same situation, too. Next year, he'll be gone.
Yeah. Ottawa, obviously, is already gone with Trevor Harris. Hamilton's set with Zach Kallaros, and they've got depth there.
There you go. So you left the one left.
Now you got Montreal.
Which?
But looks like they're looking towards Vernon Adams as their guy of the future.
But they're not. They can't. I mean, and also they've given up a lot to get, like you just said, they've given up a lot to get Vernon Adams as well. They gave a first-round pick to get Vernon Adams. So, anyway, if...
But don't tell me that they had made that move with Kevin Glenn in order to... You know what I mean? I just wonder, was that the option? Was that the route that they really wanted to go?
Kyle Walters, to give up all that.
Was Jim Popp going to pay for that?
They had offered this. Here's what happened. They had offered that deal earlier. They had to try to get Drew Willie from Kyle Walters, but Kyle Walters wasn't willing to give up Drew Willie without a backup plan, because if something happened to Matt Nichols, look, this Winnipeg team is still in the playoff hunt, and if something happened to Matt Nichols, they needed Drew Willie. So Kyle Walters turned that deal down until he could go around and get the deal done with Jim to get Kevin Glenn over there. Then he went back to Jim Barker and said, okay, let's do this.
So don't tell me that there wasn't a conversation with Jim Popp and Kyle Walters
about Drew Willie to say,
hey, you know what I mean? Jim wasn't gonna go down that road.
Kyle Walters did a great job with this deal.
Montreal also gave up a first round already to get Vernon Adams. So I don't know how many more first round picks you can give up. But also look at the price tag that's attached to Drew Willie. So look, Toronto's obviously got their
next
guy
year. Remember, next year's the price tag.
There's
not a lot now because he's probably got a lot of that money up front. But still, it doesn't matter. When you give up a first and a third, then you've – and TJ Heath, it's a big price tag. You're committed to it. Basically, you can't – you are not – if Drew Willie goes out and stinks it up for Toronto this season, chances are he would still be back next year because you've given up a lot.
Yeah, well, Jim Barker – and look, if it works out for both Milanovich and Barker, then good on them. But I'll say this. It's quite the sweet bailout package that they just served up to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers for their quarterbacking situation, right? I mean, now that Winnipeg's got a much more manageable 1-2 system where you don't have to worry about you know, this awkward situation of this high-priced guy sitting on the clipboard. And I'm sure Kevin Glenn's well paid, but he's probably more in line of what is a manageable backup quarterback. Yeah, no and doubt. And a guy that isn't necessarily going to put that much heat on Matt Nichols. It's Matt Nichols' teams now, unless he gets hurt or, you know, hits the skids over the next month or so.
It's a good fit, James.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about
What about this scenario, though? Okay. How about this pie in the sky vision of, you know, the Bombers came up short in the 07 Grey Cup, and imagine that Matty Nichols gets hurt. Bombers fans, hear me out here, okay? I'm not trying to jinx you or anything, but just imagine Matty Nichols gets hurt. In comes Kevin Glenn. Saves the team, takes the team to the Grey Cup, and ends the Bombers' 26-year Grey Cup drought, atoning for coming up short in 2007. And what's to say that Drew Willey may not even play this year, given the way that Dan LeFever just played against the Hamilton Ticats?
That would be a great story.
Think about this week. I mean, Willie's not going to play for the Argos this week. LeFever's going to get the start. We'll get into the previews a little later on to the show. But, I mean, that's... Imagine the circus it would be this week in Winnipeg with Willie having to play, you know, against the Bombers this week, going head to head with Matty Nichols. Oh boy, and it would have been so fresh.
The other part of this trade we didn't talk about yet was, you know, Kevin going to Montreal and Montreal getting a fourth rounder back, and now this part of the trade, Javon Johnson was publicly upset about it. Oh. Nick Lewis publicly upset about it.
Gerard Carr.
And I'm gonna stick up for Jim Pop here. And as a player, you're thinking about yourself. You're thinking about what's happening right here and now.
You're in the trenches.
Jim Pop said it, and this was not. People think that Montreal lost on this deal. Oh, how could you give up Kevin Glenn for a fourth? This was a good move by Jim Pop, and I love Kevin Glenn.
Yeah, it's a good move by Jim Pop. It's a good business
move. It is, because at the end of the day, Jim came out and said, this deal is not about, and when Kevin got benched, Jim said, this is not about benching Kevin Glenn. This is about, we as an organization need to see who we have. We need to see who we have, meaning Vernon Adams and Rakeem Cato. We need to see who we have here. So, you know, Javon Johnson's talking about, we gave up nothing for Kevin Glenn. Well, Kevin Glenn was not going to play the rest of the year because you need to let the young guys play. And at the end of the year, he's a free agent, will be gone anyway. So Jim actually got max value for Kevin Glenn, which is a fourth round pick, which sounds crazy, but in all actuality, it was a good move. He got something for nothing, or got something for an asset that he wasn't going to use. And people, that was the only spot he could really go. So I think, you know, people always want to jump on
expiring
Jim.
Contract.
People, yeah, you, expiring contract.
You turned
it
into
jump
an asset.
On Jim Pop right now.
And
but
you obviously were turning the page on Kevin Glenn as your quarterback. You know,
it's a business move.
It makes sense all across the board. Hey, look, it's a 3-8 team.
And you got to see what you have for next year.
100%.
If you're Montreal, you have to.
At this stage, you got to find out. And I'm going to assume that somewhere in the next couple of weeks, and depending if this spiral continues for the Alouettes, which certainly, based on what we've seen at practice this week, and you know, at what point do you see Vernon Adams? But, you know, Rakeem Cato got into it last week verbally with Daron Carter, and here we are again this week on Tuesday. They got into it again, where Rakeem Cato had to be escorted, based on some of the video evidence that we saw on social media, Rakeem Cato had to be escorted from the practice field, which isn't totally rare. I mean, you've seen issues like this before.
He took a shot.
There was video. He took a quick jab at Daron Carter,
which Daron Carter was actually seen laughing.
He was laughing.
So he actually.
And Rakeem was fired up.
He was hot.
But you know, based on what we've seen from Rakeem Cato, he seems like he's a pretty intense guy to begin with as a competitor. Where Daron's more of a goofing around and having fun. So
you know, and of course in typical DC chilling fashion, and we'll hear from him later. But in typical DC fashion, we hear him say in a tweet, when you try to break things up and end up in the middle of it, and basically Daron saying, "Hey, I try to break up something else between Cato and someone else, and I ended up in the middle of it." And so Daron, I guess, is saying he's not to blame for this altercation, but the bottom line is there's some stuff going on in old Montreal.
Well, let me ask you this. How much does this fall on Jim Pop, the way that things are starting to unravel with his players?
In fairness,
we just pumped that guy's tires for making a pretty good trade with Kevin Glenn. But on the flip side, like, you know, you've had your
I don't know if it was that good of a trade. don't know if it was that good of a trade that we're pumping his tires. Okay, you got a fourth rounder.
But respectfully, we said, you know what? Hey, it was a smart business move.
No, you're right.
But we were pumping his tires in terms of making a smart business move. But on this, at the same time, when you've got this much, like, I get it. When you're losing sucks, and you get frustrated, and it becomes a snowball effect. But does this fall upon Jim Popp because he's the GM and the head coach? I mean, this is his team. This is his personnel. Or is this just a case of, hey, guys are frustrated? I mean, it's going to happen.
It might fall on him for not knowing the characters that he had in his locker room and having, you know, I say this. Here's the way I put it, and I've talked about this with a lot of people, and I have.
He was your boss for a long time.
He was. I've been in a lot of locker rooms in my life. I played 13 years of professional football and the NFL and the CFL, and I've been on a lot of different teams, so I know the dynamic of locker rooms.
Yeah.
And here's the issue. You can have guys who are controversial guys, outspoken guys, knucklehead guys. You can have those guys on your team, but you cannot have
and still be successful.
And still be successful, but you cannot have your best players on the team not be good leaders. The best players, because what happens is the young guys don't necessarily follow who they should follow, or they don't necessarily follow the leaders per se. The best players follow the young players follow the best players on your team, because those are the guys that they watch and they look up to, and they say, oh, that guy's a baller, or that guy's this and that guy's this. So a young guy coming into the league might not look at, you know, like a guy like, let's use Jason Araki, for example.
Okay. Yeah.
A special team rock star, been in Lions 10 years, a big leader on that football team, well-respected.
Loved his dad, Nick, by the way.
Yes, definitely. Former Alouette. And well-respected. But a young guy's not going to walk into the room and necessarily, they follow the stars. And after a time, like, you know, after a half of the season, a young guy will look at what Jason Araki does and they'll follow him because they see what he does. They see the type of the leader he is and the guy he is. But at the beginning, they want the star receiver. They don't want the lunch pail guy. They're going to follow the stars. And unfortunately, Montreal, guy like DC, who is a star, who the guys look at and think he's awesome and he's all that, they're going to follow him, and you don't want your young guys following guys like that because they're setting the wrong example. And unfortunately, like you mentioned earlier, James, if DC was on a team like Calgary with a stable group and a bunch of good leaders on that football team, then he would probably stay in line and do what he does. But unfortunately, put him in a place like Saskatchewan where there's a bunch of knuckleheads, or in Montreal where it seems like there's some knuckleheads, and it's going to be tough for them to succeed.
It's almost becoming a toxic environment where we're losing your starts best overwhelmed. Players, you're at a transitional
most talented
time.
Players have to be your most talented players have to yeah. be leaders.
If he drops into a situation like, say, Edmonton or BC or Calgary, where you've got established, you know, veteran guys, or even Hamilton to a large degree, and even look at the situation in Ottawa as well.
Like Zach, look at the type of leader that Mike Riley is, or that Zach Caleros is, now, or Ricky Ray is. Now, what's the common denominator with all three?
Now, they're also
three?
Great quarterbacks.
Well, that's the thing. What's the common denominator with all three of those guys? They're also the best players on their teams.
Yes.
So you follow, you get in line and follow.
Okay. I want to hold you there for a quick moment because I want to share this conversation now with everybody listening right now. I had a chance to catch up in person with Daron Carter, who recently visited Vancouver when the Alouettes came to town. And I caught up with Daron kind of before, you know, the latest rhymes with hit storm kind of hit town with Daron. And I'll tell you what, I mean, he is one of the CFL's biggest villains. I think there's certainly a past history with Daron Carter, and for all the negativity that is talked about and poked at with respect to Daron Carter, he was a fascinating individual to speak with and quite a likable personality as well, and a guy who embraces being the role of the villain. And a guy who's pretty much been a marked man since he broke into football, being the son of a Hall of Fame wide receiver and former NFL star Chris Carter. So here now, that conversation with Daron Carter. Explain this to me, okay, in your own rationale and logic. What does DC being DC mean?
DC being DC means it's like, man, it's kind of like I got no shame. I'll say anything, you know, if I feel like it needs to be said. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do me, and I'm going to have a play with a lot of passion. I'm going to have fun. I'm always going to be smiling, and I have fun playing a game, a man's game. You know,
gets you in trouble though?
Man, yeah, it's gotten me in trouble my whole life. But you know, it's you gotta take the good with the bad, and you know, my good comes with a lot of touchdowns.
Fair enough. The, you know, in sports, there's villains, there's heroes. You kind of get painted as a villain, and I'm curious. I mean, what do you think of that perception of playing like being the villain? I mean, you know, it seems to work in certain realms and in movies. You know, hey, a good hero needs a good villain. Batman had the Joker. I mean, what about you? I mean, you're kind of perceived as a villain. Do you not see that?
Oh, yeah. I like it. You know, I love all the animosity, you know, it brings. People don't even know me, you know, but they just don't like me. There's something about me, and I just love it. You know, I think about it all the time when I catch a ball, you know, when a guy says something to me in the stands, you know, drinking his two beers, you know, I remember that. And I think, you know, that's how I play. I remember that. And then I go back and I look at him, and he can't say anything. And I just
do you find those guys?
Oh, man, they find me. I mean, man, I can go down and sit on the bench. All I hear is, Carter, hey, Carter. And, you know, I smile, and it's entertainment. You know, people come to football games. You know, they want to have fun. They want to be able to interact with a player. And, you know, I give them that, you know.
Now, I'm guessing that probably came at an early age for you, having the last name Carter on the back of a jersey. Like, I'm sure you probably heard it from an early age because you became not a marked man, but a marked kid at that stage. It's like, hey, you know, there's the chosen one. Kid, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've had a sort of target on my back, you know, ever since Little League. You know, everybody wanted to take out Chris Carter's kid. Everybody wanted to guard him, you know. And I always live with that chip on my shoulder. I'll never let anybody be able to say, you know, that they beat Chris Carter's kid or they beat DeRon Carter.
Your dad teach you that, or did he say don't never get beat, or what sort of mindset?
Yeah, definitely. You know, he always raised me that, you know, to have a chip on my shoulder and that people are gonna, you know, always gonna be after me because of him, you know, and just be ready. You know, I'm always prepared. You know, I'm strong minded. You know, and I go through life head on.
Did it ever feel like a curse at times being Chris Carter's kid? Because I bet it must have been hard at times.
I mean, yeah, there's disadvantages, but you know, I'm blessed, you know, truly blessed. I grew up in Boca Raton, Florida.
Give me a pro and give me a con, besides living in Boca Raton.
Man, a con, just man, has somebody that like had a bad interaction with my dad, and that like, you know, they either played together or played against each other, and they end up being my coach. And you know, it just, they just always have some type of animosity. Like I've had like 5 or 6 situations where I've had to ask coaches, you know, like, you know, what's the deal, you know, your relationship, you know. And that's how I've always taken on things head on. And that's how I've sort of broken through that wall, because you know, if you let people just sit there and think anything, they're gonna keep on thinking it. So, you know, for me, I just like to, you know, change people's perspective and, you know, also show what I got.
You became a marked man, a rock star, a villain. You know, I mean, the adjectives and the describing words can go on and on and on for the much anticipated suspension, the one game suspension. Obviously, you've seen it, and I'm sure you've seen it multiple times. Having looked back on it now, what do you see from that?
Oh man, I like, even to this day, I didn't think it was a big deal. Like, I mean, I didn't even see him. Like, for me, it just seems like I didn't see him. I bumped into him, definitely. He fell over, and you know, it happened. And I just thought it would just, you know, that's what happened.
Was it a flop?
I mean, now I've already been suspended. I mean, I guess, yeah, he fell on purpose. But it's like, it's football, you know. He did that. I would have did it too. You know, it got me out the game, and that's what happens. They won. They got 2 wins out of it.
Did you guys say anything? Did you guys ever exchange words or speak after that incident, you and Rick Campbell?
Yeah, I had apologized after the game, but he avoids any contact with me, like during the game. When I was there, I was always like chirping at him, you know. But he wouldn't even look at me. It's funny.
It's fun. Now, I mean, where does the talking come from? Where does the chirping, the energy, does that come from dad, or is that just your own wild personality?
You know, it's a little bit for my dad. It's a little bit for me. You know, but my dad was always a talker. And even today, you know, my dad, he used to coach me in high school. You know, he always used to tell us about having a receiver swag and being like Randy Moss and, you know, and just being a dominant football player. And that's how I see myself, you know, as a receiver. You only get the ball 4 or 5 times a game, and that's being, you know, a dominant receiver. So for me, anytime I get a opportunity, you know, to help my team and also, you know, show out, I definitely get it.
You, right or wrong, you've kind of earned a bit of a reputation as being a problem child. Mm-hmm. You know, bouncing around school, yeah. And then, you know, you come up here, you're not afraid to talk, you're bumping into coaches. You look at the NFL opportunity. I remember seeing a quote from you a year or two ago saying that, you know, it was me being immature and I might have messed up that opportunity. Mm-hmm. How do you look at things, how you've kind of grown up?
Oh, man, just and spending a year in the NFL and just seeing how everything works and, you know, just a whole lot of stuff outside of football that, you know, that front office that you really can't control. I didn't really realize that, you know, till you're in it. And just, you know, I learned a lot, you know, just being a professional, you know, being there from 6 a.m. to, you know, 6 p.m, you know, it's a real job. And, you know, and I thank the Indianapolis coach for being there, you know, hopefully, you know, I'll have another shot.
Do you feel like you messed up?
No, man. There's a lot of stuff that's just out of my control. You know, everybody knows I can play football. You know, Chuck Pagano will tell you I can play some football. You know, it just didn't happen to be with the Indianapolis Colts.
If you could have one do-over, what would you do?
Man, I don't know. Go to the Vikings?
Yeah. They could use a quarterback. Well, I don't know. Maybe I guess they got Sam Bradford.
I mean, yeah, you know, it's just – I'll say it like this. If I changed – one thing in my past, whether it be college or if I'd be like, oh man, I wish if I'd have went to that class, you know, I'd have still been at Ohio State, or if I didn't fail that drug test, I'd still be at Alabama, and I wouldn't be in the position I am now. You know, I'm super happy with me. I'm happy with my career. You know, I love my team, and you know, I wouldn't change anything. So you know, I just love going through life, and hopefully, you know, I could do a lot better.
You know, highlights kind of paint pictures sometimes, fairly or unfairly. Mm-hmm. And there's times, I mean, I think when you look at the suspension, some people are like, oh, who is this guy? What a clown. At the same time, there's a lot of people that will say, you know what, when you get talking to Daron Carter, he's a real intelligent guy and he's quite cerebral. What's one thing that people don't know about you that that you think that you would like for people to know?
Oh, man, one thing. What, my Wonderlic score? Or I got like a 36 or like, was it 40 or something? It's like, yeah, I'm pretty.
That's not bad.
Yeah, you know, people, the average is like 12. But I don't know. I mean, people are always going to think what they're going to think, you know. You would never think a guy that failed out of college would, you know, have a 36 on his Wonderlic. But I'm like, you know, I go through, I can't wait to, you know, to meet new people. You know, I love changing their mind about me. You know, I love hearing that. People be like, man, you know, I thought this one thing about Daron, but he's a really smart dude. You know, I like hearing that.
Nice. Colin Kaepernick coming under a lot of fire over the last few weeks. And I'm curious, I mean, protesting the anthem in the U.S., it's been a very polarizing debate. And yet, at the same time, Colin Kaepernick's the best-selling jersey right now on NFL.com.
Yes.
So tell me this, as a guy who has lived in the South, in the United States, and a guy who's experienced life here in Canada, what's your perception and how what do you think of Colin Kaepernick's logic and rationale behind his protest?
No, he definitely has the right to do it as an American, you know, and I would have to say I agree with him, you know. And I would never take a knee during the Canadian anthem because, you know, Canada's been so good to me. But you know, I can definitely see why. You know, I love being in Canada. It's scary being in America, you know, like.
What's scary?
Man, you just don't know. It could be a random day where you're going to the store and you get pulled over for speeding or anything. And you have the opportunity of being shot or being arrested or being profiled, and it's hard, man. It's just hard, you know. I've been like
that. Have you experienced it?
Yeah, you know, in high school, I've been pulled over plenty of times. In high school, I had really long dreads, you know.
cops, got profiled.
Yeah, cops have thought I stole my car. You know, I've been arrested on the side of the road in handcuffs, you know, for driving my own car. And you know.
For doing nothing.
No. Like, I didn't get tickets. I didn't get, you know, they just drive off. But, you know, that's, you just kind of accept it. In America, that's just life, you know, and it's hard for some people to relate if you've never experienced it. Mm-hmm.
And you feel like we got it pretty good up here in Canada?
Yeah. Oh man, I love being up here, man. Canada is great. People are friendly. Nobody looks at you wrong. You know, I can walk down the street and nobody looks at you crazy. Nobody clutches their purse. You know, I can just be comfortable.
That's not bad.
No, not at all.
So are we going to make you an honorary Canadian at some point?
Oh, hey, man. I
just have to go easy on coaches here, Duran. And politicians.
Oh, man. I thought about it, man. I love Canada. And if it didn't get so cold. I'm from Florida, man. You know, I love being in the warm weather.
They have parkas, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They have coats and toques, right? Call scullies.
Scullies, yeah. A toque, yeah. Man. I always have a toque going in Montreal. Man, it's too cold.
Have you tried a poutine yet?
Man, I'm not a poutine fan. You know, I'm not a big cheese guy.
You look
guy.
Too jacked up to be to be a poutine
guy. I can't
guy.
Eat a lot of cheese, man. You know?
Are you lactose intolerant?
Yeah, a little bit. It's just all this cheese curds. It's just too much dairy for me, man.
Maple syrup, have you tried?
See, you know, syrup in America is completely different than syrup in Canada. Yeah. Syrup in Canada is so sweet. It's like you can only have a little drop. You can have a whole bunch of syrup in the United States. But in Canada, it's like pure maple. I don't think I can handle it.
Wait a minute. You don't like cheese. You don't like maple syrup. I don't know. You know what? Go back to America.
I like Crown, man. I like Crown Royal.
Oh, you like Crown Royal? Okay. You know what? You can stick around. All right. On game days, I hope not.
Oh, no.
If you win.
Oh, yeah. If I win, I would definitely. I wish I could have a sponsorship. Me and Nick Lewis.
All right. Well, you want to throw me in there, I'll join you for some Crown. I like brown liquor's okay. In moderation, of course, everybody. And although when the weather gets colder, sometimes it's not a bad idea to pack a flask to huddle up and stay warm, right?
I couldn't pack a flask, man. Nah, definitely, I would say the best time to have a drink is after a win. So I haven't had a drink in a few weeks.
I'll drink to that. Duran, hey, thanks so much for doing this. Nice talking to you,
right,
and all the best
you,
this season, all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So my conversation with Duran Carter, and like I said, I mean, you can judge for yourself based on his actions and antics. You know, he doesn't make any apologies for the way he's acted and the way he is. And I'll say this, a likable personality, certainly very engaging to talk to, and a guy who was certainly, you know, not apprehensive about discussing anything or any of his antics. And looking back, I'll say this. He's a personality that I think the league thrives with, whether you like him or not, because here's a guy, first and foremost, and whether he is, I think you kind of touched on it really well and said it quite eloquently, a guy who would thrive in a winning veteran situation as opposed to a transitional losing situation where he's in right now with Montreal. But a guy who embraces the role as being a villain. And not everybody can be that guy who can wear, you know, kind of the bad guy sort of hat. But he embraces it, and he seems to thrive in those types of moments. And look at the game that he had against the Red Blacks in Ottawa, you know, for his first visit since the whole, you know, fiasco where he bumped Rick Campbell, where he basically said that, you know, Campbell flopped on the play. But, you know, he is a talent. He is arguably the most talented receiver in the Canadian Football League, I think you even suggested that he might be the most talented player in the game in the Canadian Football League.
He is an immense talent. Duran Carter is
it's fun to watch.
He's great to watch, and you know what?
Imagine him with AC.
Yeah, you know.
You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Sure.
Imagine where he'd be, or Mike Riley, or Bo Levi.
Yeah,
or
let's look at DC like this, and I can't unequivocally say that he's a problem in the locker room. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, when there keeps on being issues with him, every place he goes, at the end of the day, you have to look in the mirror when you're DC and say, you know what, maybe I have to change something I'm doing, because it can't be problem at this college, problem
follow
at
the
this college,
problem with
this college, follow with this problem with this NFL team, problem with this CFL team. Like, when it continues to happen over and over again, And that's the problem I have with
maybe Deron. It is me,
Deron. And I'm a fan of listening to the interview. That's a great interview, and he does sound like a good dude. I like him listening to it, and I've covered him a bit, and he seems like
you cover
a fun,
him as a Montreal Alouettes analyst,
and he seems like a good dude and a fun guy. But the one thing that bothers me, and I really wish he would look at it and say, you know what, look at some of the things he's done and say, that's on me, and I need to change that. I need to be better. Because you look at all the incidences, and you listen to the clips after, he never apologizes for anything, or never sees the wrong in the things he's doing. And I'm all for second chances, kind of no regrets. And that's and he kind of takes pride in that I don't take any. I have no regrets, and I don't look back at anything.
Not afraid to speak his mind, as he says.
And that's great.
Kind of gets him in trouble. And it looks like, you know, based on the optics and. You know, we weren't there on the sidelines, but based on the altercation with Rakeem Cato, you know, you even said it, the tweet that he had fired off after practice, that he basically made it sound like he was trying to break it up, as opposed to, but again, speaking his mind. And
yeah, but you can't compartmentalize his issues, because it's time and time again. So let's Deron Carter, you're a great football player. Probably the biggest talent in this league. I'm an Owls fan. I'm an Owls alumni. I want you to
number
succeed.
Number two.
I want you to succeed, but I also want you to look in the mirror and realize that the things that the issues you have, or the things you're doing in the locker room, they're divisive, and you need to take ownership of these things so they don't happen again.
Mm. Speaking of the Alouettes, they kick off our Week 13 matchups here as they visit the Hamilton Ticats. And so Let's talk about the Montreal Dysfunctionals as they take on a kind of a reeling Tabby squad. I look at this one, and to me, I don't see the Owls keeping up offensively. I mean, Hamilton has warts, and they certainly had their issues again exposed. But here's what I see going into this one. They've got a young quarterback in Rakeem Cato, behind an offensive line that has given up the most sacks in the CFL this year, facing a Tabby's defense that, yes, they've got a porous secondary, but they've also got the second most sacks in the CFL this year. To me, that just spells doom for the road team. I just don't see Montreal keeping up offensively, because you know that Hamilton's going to get their points, even though they got held in check fairly well. And who knows, maybe Rich Dubler created the blueprint to maybe contain the
Ticats.
Exactly.
You know what, James, that's what I was going to say, is that this league is a copycat league, and this was the first time that you really saw Hamilton's offense get dominated.
With Zach Calero.
And somewhat exposed. Yeah, exactly. When Zach's out there, somewhat exposed. Like, they lined up, and they blitzed the heck out of them over and over and over again, and then they did the same thing. They'd line up and then drop nine and rush three. If you're getting there with three, there's a problem with that offensive line. So this team got a bit exposed, but you know what? We know Ken Dawson. He's a smart coach, and this is a group of guys that they'll fix the problems. They'll see what they did, and I think they'll come up with a game plan to stop.
There's a lot at stake
to stop
here
that
for this
league.
Game
there's, yeah, sure, there yeah. is exactly, and there's obviously leaks. There's leaks now, but this leak will. I don't think this will be a problem. They'll plug this leak because Kent's a smart guy and he's going to fix it. But when you plug one, the other leaks come, and that's the issue.
So we both like Hamilton here.
Yeah, we like Hamilton. But on the other side, also Hamilton's going to run the ball, because look what happened. Talking about copycat league.
Yeah.
Look what happened to Montreal's vaunted defense.
Ooh.
Getting over 240 yards rushing, or whatever, maybe 220 yards rushing, averaging 10 yards a clip. The BC Lions did to Montreal. So expect CJ Gable and the running game to at least attempt to run on the team until
maybe Noel Thorpe was hanging out at the Roxy too much here in Vancouver and just forgot to come up with a game plan last week against the Lions. That's a good BC team though too. In fairness,
everyone has a bad day.
Totally.
That defense,
and that's
that
not
Montreal
on Noel,
defense.
I mean.
No. But that Montreal defense, it's sure it's on Noel. It's on Noel and the rest of the defense. It's on every. You know, when you win, it's you get the credit, and when you lose, you get the faults. And they'll get that fixed though, because that's a good group.
Okay, doubleheader on Saturday. Two intriguing matchups. It would have been even that much more intriguing had Drew Willie if he was getting the start this weekend for the Toronto Argonauts, but. The Boatmen visit Winnipeg to take on the Bombers, and it'll be Dan Lefevre at quarterback. But what a storyline it would have been if Willie was starting going into Winnipeg. Boy, Nichols, Willie. I mean, I guess we'll have to wait till next year for that one, or maybe later on this season, depending on how things play out. But the Bombers have won six straight. Lefevre, I guess, is basically, you know what? he's in a position right now, I think, based on the deal, is that you're going to have to probably win out to stay, you know, you're going to have to basically put up another 30 plus points against the opposition, against a very stingy and a very good Winnipeg defense. But you know what? I mean, how do you go against the Bombers? They've won six straight now, and I'm kind of the opinion, I've said this for a few weeks now, I'm just going to keep riding the hot hand here, because this is a remarkable team. And they also add TJ Heath to a defensive lineup that's already one of the best in the league. Yeah. Five picks. Like, I mean, you look at
Richie Hall is Richie Hall. Whoa.
You had 20 interceptions with this team. You had 20 interceptions with this team, you know, as of a week prior. And now you just added another guy who's tied with Mo Leggett for the league lead in the CFL with five interceptions, Davis. I mean, it's just that's a lot of ball hawks out there.
Richie Hall, a Hall of Fame defensive back himself, the coordinator for the Bombers, has got to be sitting there just rubbing his hands together like a kid in a candy store, like a kid at Christmas with all these toys, in great defensive backs and Mo Leggett who can do so many different things, and hopefully Ian Wild is healthy. He got banged up last game, and he's, you know, one of the top linebackers in the league flying around. Doesn't this feel like an issue
where that Heath's going to have a big game against his former team? Does it not scream that sort of scenario that he's going to go, you know, he's just celebrated his birthday. On the day he celebrates his birthday, he gets traded, comes up with two picks, and the Argos win. They ship him off to Winnipeg, and now he's going to face Dan Lefebvre and company. I mean, it just screams
he's for sure.
Big game for TJ Heath.
TJ Heath is for sure not feeling you know, in any negative ways towards Toronto. I'm sure that they regret having to deal him, but obviously they you know, he understands the game and the business. TJ Heath's also NFL veteran, so he knows the game, and he actually could take that as a compliment that somebody wanted him that much to deliver to, you know, in a huge trade with a quarterback that was desperately needed for this Argos franchise. So I'm sure that Jim Barker let him know that's the situation. I mean, there's no hard feelings. But one thing we haven't talked about at all, Dan Lefebvre last week, he looked good. I mean, he
– really good.
And, you know,
and good for him, too. What a story.
Great story. And you know what? Everyone I've talked to about Dan Lefebvre, he has a skill set. He's supposed to be a really cerebral quarterback. Along with that, he's a super great athlete. So, I mean, you can have a guy like that who's cerebral and he can make plays when things break down. I mean, that's he looked great. He's tough to deal with. And now, and also, an advantage he had last week we never talked about is he was in Hamilton for a long time, and so he knows Orlando Steinhauer's defense. So that gave him an advantage going into last week too, because he's playing against a defense he knew and saw him practice a whole lot. So anyway, Dan Lefebvre looked great. Hopefully he can continue his success. And who knows if he gets on a roll, it might be his job, and then we'll have a real problem. But
icing Drew Willie, and they'll have to wait. He'll have to wait that much longer.
But I have Winnipeg as well. They're just too hot, and they're at home.
That's exactly it. You know what? The marquee matchup is the second leg of the doubleheader on Saturday, and that's the Calgary Stampeders flying high, 9-1-1 on the season. They take on an Ottawa Red Blacks team. But the last time these two teams went at it earlier in the season, they came up with a tie in the nation's capital. To me, this looks like a different looking Red Blacks team than from earlier in the season, where Ottawa's really, to me, lost their rhythm and their momentum, especially offensively, since Harris got hurt in late July. They were coming off a bye week, and we'll see if they can find that mojo back. But, you know, there's been some eyebrow-raising moves in here from your standpoint as a former defensive guy. Some interesting moves on the defensive side of the football with the Red Blacks in recent weeks, where back-to-back weeks they have released players, and quality players at that. Jermaine Robinson gets cut over the last week, and that comes a week after releasing another defensive starter in David Hines. So, and they're saying it's not cap related. Marcel Desjardins says basically they're just trying to get better out here, D, but that's a surprise that Jermaine Robinson was one that really raised your eyebrow.
So for those of you who don't know, there's a guaranteed contract system in the Canadian Football League for veterans. So if you're once you've been in the league 4 years, after 11 games you're guaranteed. And if you've been in the league 5 years, after 10 games you're guaranteed. So if you've been in the league 3 years, after 12 games, and I say guaranteed, I mean your salary's guaranteed. They can cut you, but your salary's guaranteed. So 3 years, 3 years, 12 games, 4 years, 11 games. So that time is coming up for a lot of these guys. So teams have to make these moves right now. That's why if you wonder the timing of some of these things, it's because if they don't make the move now, their salaries are guaranteed. Jermaine Robinson was a guy that we both loved. He's a baller. He hits everything that moves.
Heavy hitter.
We've talked about him on the here on the Waggle quite often and love his game. He's the one that knocked out Daron Carter in the famous Rick Campbell sideline incident.
Rick Campbell. Jermaine started it.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's why he got cut.
He also, actually, a funny thing about Jermaine Robinson, and I'll go on to talk about, I spoke with Ike Charlton, the defensive back coach, but another funny thing is that Calgary game last year, Jermaine dropped that pick. I don't know if you remember, but the ball went flying in the air, and it was a fluttering ball, and if he caught it, it was, I believe, in overtime, or it was the last play of the fourth quarter, or it was in overtime, or the last series of the fourth quarter. And it was fluttering up. It got tipped, and it seemed like he was in the air for 15 minutes. And Jermaine dropped the easiest pick ever in his life, and Calgary went down and tying the game. And they end up not getting the W. Ottawa ended up not getting the W there. But
hey, as a DB, are those not the hardest ones? The one that you've got too much time to think about that are
no.
in the air?
No, I just scooped that and took it. I catch it. Maybe for them. Not for Chezzy. See, ball. Okay, Chezzy would have made that
enough,
catch. But hey, look. But look, I talked to Ike Charlton, defensive back coach for the Ottawa Redblacks.
Yeah.
He loved Jermaine Robinson. And he was also, you know, somewhat surprised with the move, but the Redblacks decided to go in that direction. He said the kid was a hardworking kid, a great teammate, cerebral, always knew where he was supposed to be. So he had nothing but great things to say about Jermaine Robinson. And Marcel Desjardins also went on to say that it wasn't an attitude problem with him. And it wasn't a salary cap issue. They just decided to go in a different direction. So that being said, what I can take from that, piecing those two things together, and the only other thing is it had to be schematically. It just didn't fit to have his skill set back there. And they're going to go with on Antoine Pruneau, who was playing Sam linebacker, as you know, had got benched. Mm-hmm. For his lack of coverage, this is probably a better spot for him than Sam linebacker. It is a Canadian position. Now the Redblacks will go Canadian at free safety, which changes their ratio a bit. And this is a good spot for him because he should be on the field. He's a good football player. But Sam, he's not. I don't think he's a good enough cover guy to play Sam. He was getting exposed out there at Sam. But at free safety, he'll run around, he'll hit people, and it's a good spot for Antoine Pruneau. But sad to see. Hopefully Jermaine Robinson ends up on his feet somewhere. I'm sure he will. I think he might even have NFL opportunities. Now he's a free agent. He's that good and was that highly looked at this season. So we'll see what happens with Jermaine Robinson.
Calgary, I mean, until they get proven the other way around, I mean, it's one of those scenarios that, oh boy, it's hard not to see the Stamps taking care of business at home. They avoided a scare in Edmonton last week, but I just, you know what, until Ottawa kind of finds that sort of rhythm again, until I'm convinced otherwise, I think this is the game that Calgary comes away with at home, taking advantage of the home field advantage here.
Well, Tavares Daniels last week, in for Joe West, two touchdowns, six catches for 113 yards. Does Calgary just continue to plug and play? Like, at what point do we look at this and say, okay, enough's enough with talking about the player. Like Junior Turner last week, defensive lineman, Shane Bergman got hurt. He went in and played O-line. Mm-hmm. And they still pumped in, you know, how many points, 34 points. Like, at what point, James, do we say, okay, this is about Dave Dickinson's system, not about the players in it necessarily. Not to take away credit from guys. Bo is Bo, and the other guys are ballers. But, I mean, whoever they throw in there just seems to make plays. And they lose another guy, they plug someone else in, he has success. They lose another guy, you know, mess up Cornish leaves, they have success. Fuller and Eric Rogers leave, you know, other guys come in and have success. Like, it's crazy. So
I will say this.
Yes.
I'm looking forward in a week from now when we look ahead to week 14.
Who do we have?
Bombers and Stamps. And
this
will be the first time that the Bombers tangle with the Stamps in the Matty Nichols regime.
That's in Calgary, 4 o'clock Saturday, 4 o'clock Eastern.
So that's Saturday. And that's going to be something that the Bombers are going to have to be mindful of taking on the Argos this week, that they don't look ahead too far ahead, because you know that they probably want to use that as the ultimate measuring stick to say, okay, are we for real? Are we legit? Hey, look, you know, to win six straight in this league is impressive at any point in time, but now comes the ultimate measuring stick with the Calgary Stampeders. But again, that's for next week, and that one's looming.
Before we move on, do you want to come over for some beers? Well, that's the game that we should have some beers.
And maybe Facebook Live it and all that?
Facebook Live, have some cold beers and like some good Canadians. Some good Canadians do.
Might have the kids with me, but if you're okay with them running around, they can play. They can go take.
They can grab me a beer.
They can take Kuda for a walk and serve us beer. Exactly. And if a beer sponsor wants to step up, we will gladly shill your beer here on the Waggle Podcast while we're watching these games.
Let us know. Oh, so I got. By the way, I got Calgary. Who do you have?
I got the Stamps as well, which brings us to our Sunday matchup, and it's Edmonton and Saskatchewan in Regina. Call me crazy. Gonna channel my Carly Rae Jepsen here, but because it was more of a call me maybe, but this is crazy.
Cray cray.
Something tells me the Riders are going to find a way to win this one. Edmonton, they're allowing 29 plus points this year. Sasky allowing 31. Yes, they both give up tons of points, but you know what? I will say this, for all the negativity and all the dirt that we've kind of thrown at the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, you know what? Riders fans, you guys have been close in a lot, in a bunch. You had a heartbreaker, against a really hot Winnipeg team at home. You were still in it in Winnipeg last week as well. They lost a close one to Edmonton, a few weeks back. Somehow, some way, Sasky gets it done, and I think they find a way to win this weekend on Sunday against the Edmonton Eskimos, finding a way to topple Mike Riley and the defending Grey Cup champions, although I think, I don't know if anybody wants to call them the defending Grey Cup champs anymore, the way that they've kind of struggled at certain points of this season. But I think Sasky finds a way.
The Grey Cup champs, half of them are playing for the other team right now.
Yes, they also turn the page, the Riders this week also turn the page on Khalif Mitchell as well, which, bye-bye. See ya.
Holla.
2 weeks in. 2 weeks in. And now apparently there was some issues, over some complaints over playing time. Why would you even, and if that was the case, why would you even complain having gotten another opportunity?
I always look. You hear me on this podcast, and anytime I'm on the radio, when I get asked about Chris Jones, I defend because I think he's a sharp CFL mind or a sharp football mind. I think he knows talent. This decision right here was just plain dumb. It's just plain dumb. Whether it was John Murphy or Chris Jones, whoever made this decision was just plain dumb. It made no sense. I always give the benefit of the doubt for a guy that has this much success in personnel and in football a lot more than I do, but I can't see how this made any sense. This guy, Khalif Mitchell, was out of shape. The last time he played, the last two teams he played on, he was out of shape, and that was the problem. And now this is 2 years later. You're going to bring the guy back who is out of shape. Then you think he's somehow going to be ready to play football now? I don't understand. And all the, and that's not even talk about the off the field issues we have, and the people, Rough Rider fans, talking about not renewing their tickets and boycotting games. Well, good Rider fans, you can go back to the game because that sucker's gone. I wish the best to Khalif. I shouldn't call him sucker. That sucker's gone. I wish the best for him in off the football field and in his life endeavors. But that was never going to work. And in this game, I'm going to take Edmonton, James. I'm going to go against you on this one. I'm going to go with the obvious and take the Eskimos. They threw for 440 yards. They'll get those red zone. We call the green zone, which is money. You got to put the ball in the end zone when you get in there. That's been the Eskimos' problem. I think they'll figure out a way to get the ball in the end zone, and it'll be a little too much for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Well, me and my Rider friends are all hoping you're wrong on this one. Hey, don't forget to play CFL Pick'em. You can just simply sign up now at cfl.ca. It's free. And you know what? Davis and I love free. And you know who else loves free? Everybody. You can even join our group. Go head-to-head and make picks with us against Davis and myself. Join our group, The Waggle. You could win $30,000 just by showing what you know. So get down on it. And to recap one more time, our CFL Pick'em selections this week. We both like Hamilton over Montreal. We both like Winnipeg over Toronto. We both like Calgary over Ottawa. And Davis likes Edmonton. I like Sasky this week's, and that is your CFL Pick'em, and that'll do it for this week's edition of the Waggle.
That was me singing in the background.
I thought that was the actual real thing.
That was a good week. I had fun this week, and check us out next week. Thank you, everyone, for continuing to support the Waggle. We're having a blast doing it, and the support has been crazy.
It's been a lot of fun and meeting a lot of people just even randomly on the streets that are finding us and taking a listen. So thank you. Spread the word. Again, Davis Sanchez on Twitter at Davis Sanchez, James Cebulski on Twitter at James Cebulski. And again, don't forget to join us on Tuesdays for CFL Facebook Live. You got questions, we got answers. Love to join the discussion, love to interact with you guys, and thank you so much for the support. Until next week, see ya.